liked you better with glasses.
Too bad. I like me better without them.
Hey, pretty fans. It's book club time.
Boo, 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 boo.
We made it.
We made it.
It's been a little while. We've done a book club episode.
Yes. It was probably 2 weeks ago.
All I know is we done listened to these chapters like
2 weeks
ago. It felt like a long ass time ago.
Yeah.
So Vicky was sick. We were in New York. A lot of things came up. But we did have that bonus episode mixed
Hades
in there.
Hades Town. Yeah, we know.
I hope you guys liked my singing in that episode. I listened back to it one time. I'm like, man, I sang a lot.
You did.
But
you did.
It's okay. Hopefully it did it for the comedy of it all.
Right. At least it's true to form because it's basically.
Did you expect me to do weird shit?
It's well, not because I expect you to do weird shit, but also because you do weird shit. Like, it's a glimpse into my life married to you. I'm just happy that you like the show enough to have it stuck in your head. So.
Capital LOL.
LOL. So, we are here to talk about chapters 33. Originally, I had planned to go 33 through 38, stop at 39, but we had a special request from one of our longtime listeners and big participant in book club, so I just had to do it for her, so shout out to Joanna.
Bang, bang.
So we're going to go 33 through 39, stop at 40 for today.
I didn't read 39.
You did. Just kidding. It would be really hard for you to have not listened to it since we were doing it in the car together.
Pro tip, audiobooks, baby.
Oh, yeah. The last set of chapters.
Yeah, catch me up. Where did we leave off on the last book club episode?
Last book club episode was where Belly, it's kind of like, we've been talking about Hades Town, so it's kind of like if you had to break it up into three acts, mm-hmm. We're now in act two.
Okay.
Right, because act one is Belly and Jeremiah, college, what's going on with Conrad, and the engagement. Act two sets up this whole new setting where Belly has decided to stay in Cousins, Conrad's also staying in Cousins, and in the last set of chapters, we had already established that they were kind of trying to avoid each other,
mm-hmm.
And then there was the spaghetti incident.
Spaghetti's.
They're being friendly now.
All right. So that's up until chapter 32. How does chapter 33 go?
All right. So chapter 33, and the reason I wanted to start off with this is the Conrad Motel POV. So if you remember the literal way that the last chapter ended was when he was saying the promises you make to your mother on her deathbed are titanium.
Rock solid.
Rock solid. Titanium is what he said. So we don't know what the hell he's talking about. What he is in fact talking about is the idea that he promised to his mom that he would take care of his little brother. Taking care of his little brother, I don't know if every older brother would say to themselves, okay, that means that I'm going to let my little brother be with my ex-girlfriend. I don't know that you take it that far, but I think Conrad already knew that he was going across the country. If he exits stage left, then he's basically getting rid of the triangle, which is what I think he thought he was doing.
Out of sight, out of mind.
Well, not just out of sight, out of mind, but the idea that, like, yeah, it is a fucked up situation that Belly's in, but if right now she wants to be with Jeremiah and Jeremiah wants to be with her, and Conrad, as much as Jer goes after Conrad, and I'm talking more so in the show, talking about him like he's a piece of shit, like, Conrad doesn't really treat Jeremiah like that. I think Conrad just kind of like, yeah, like my younger brother, as long as he treats her good, is a good guy. Belly could be with him. It crushes him, but I think that's a mentality going into this chapter, but it's so important to actually get the Conrad POV. It is different than how it goes in the show, but so just as a reminder for you and everyone else, and anybody who is listening to book club but hasn't actually read the book, which is fine. When Jeremiah falls asleep,
mm-hmm.
Conrad talks to Belly.
Oh, yeah. He doesn't say outright that he doesn't love her or whatever. The
main difference, and here I'm actually talking about season 2 of the show and book 2. So In the book, Conrad says goodnight, Belly. Jeremiah falls asleep. And then Conrad says, I didn't mean it.
I told you.
What?
I know he said something.
Yeah.
In the book.
Right. So he says, I didn't mean it. In the show, they gave him more dialogue. So it's a little bit more explicit in the show. So he says, I didn't mean it. Of course, I still do.
Yeah, it was right. Like it's open for interpretation in the book.
In the book, it's way, way open for interpretation. So I lay there barely breathing, going over every word. The boys were asleep and every part of me was fully awake and alive. It was like a really amazing dream. And I was afraid to fall asleep because when I woke up, it would be gone. So that's how she's taking what Conrad says in the book.
Mm-hmm.
In the show, it's very different because despite what Conrad has said,
she's already kind of had her mind made up.
Had her mind made up and it's Jer, and she wakes up frantic looking for Jer.
Right.
Different in the show and in book two. The reason I mention this is because in the book, now it opens up with Conrad's point of view. And he says, that night in the motel, I didn't sleep. I went over everything that had ever happened between us. And then he says, I couldn't keep doing it, going back and forth, holding her close and then pushing her away. It wasn't right. So when Belly was in the shower, he says to Jer, it's okay if you like her. It's okay with me if you want to be with her. And he says, he looked at me like I was crazy and I felt like I'd gone crazy. Just take care of her, he says. So then the part that I like, which we'll see if it plays out this way, is then Belly comes out. She says that she looks at him with her hopeful eyes. And he said, I looked at her, back at her like I didn't recognize her, completely blank. I saw her eyes dim. I saw her love for me die. I'd killed it. What are your thoughts on that?
It's depressing.
It is depressing. But like, can you see it?
Yeah.
Is it that easy to just like...
In the moment, yes. I don't know if Belly's love for him died completely, but I can imagine her being very disappointed.
Well, that's what leads to the...
If like... she like got this big like wind in her sails from Conrad taking back the bad stuff.
Yeah.
And now she's like, oh, maybe it's back on.
Right.
And
so,
then...
So to look at somebody blankly and not give them any hope...
Well, this is what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
This motherfucker is like... Because he ends up leaving, right?
Mm-hmm.
So maybe when he looks at her, there are like some context clues going on. Like he's got his jacket on and maybe he's got his book bag or his duffel bag around his shoulder. And it's like, I'm out of here.
Right.
Like whatever you're thinking, there's no legs to this. I'm out and you're not going to see me for a long time.
I mean, well, that's exactly what happens, right? It doesn't happen. The Conrad flashback to the motel scene is very, very quick in book three. But in book two, it's totally described that way. So Conrad's
So maybe it's not an oracle. Maybe I just remember.
maybe you just remembered that from book two. But either way, when he describes his side of it, because her side is the whole, I evict you from my heart, that whole thing. But she does that as a reaction to something that he says he did purposefully. When I thought about it now, that moment in the motel, I understood I was the one who'd set this thing in motion. Push them together. It was my doing. I was the one who was going to have to live with it. They were happy.
I mean, listen, I'm with them.
Yeah.
I'm like, I can't keep doing this shit. This is such a fucked up game.
Right.
Like, I'm just going to remove myself from it. Even if, like, I have a couple plays that I could make. I have an edge on this side of the game. Whatever. It's just like, wash my hands of it. And I'll deal with the heartache by myself. But I'm not going to start affecting other people with it.
Right. So he has that flashback to the motel. And then now he comes down to the kitchen. Belly is just kind of like staring blankly into her wedding book. And she's pissed because Jeremiah's stuck in city traffic. We were going to go to Michael's, you know, the craft store. Dryly, I said, I can't say I've ever been to a Michael's before. But if you want, I'll go with you. So now we're taking the party on the road.
Love it.
So apparently Michael's is all the way in Plymouth. Who knows how the hell far that is from Cousins, but they got to go to like the next town over.
A little ride time.
So you like this part. I found myself sneaking peeks at her and I had to force myself to cool it. I want to hear your reaction. Like, what are you thinking?
I just don't see Conrad as like the smooth operator with like, I was going to put some moves on her, but you know, I'd cool it. He's not that.
You don't think of him that way?
No.
Not even in his head, because that's kind of the point, right? He's thinking all this in his head.
I mean, maybe, unless he's like that calculated. I don't know. Like, I don't think, so there's two different ways to think about it. It's like, yeah. I had to cool it, like, because I'm getting all horned up, or like, I had to cool it because, wow, I really like her and I might start this fucking
I think it's the latter. I think it's the latter.
Okay.
Because the whole exiting stage left, he just got done talking about his thoughts on the motel scene. So the whole thoughts on the motel scene, him being trapped back with her, trying to keep it cool, like he doesn't still have feelings for her, I think is the important part.
It's funny.
All right. Then they end up going to Michael's, and there's a little back and forth where she's debating on whether or not she's going to get like the big vases or the medium vases.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny. It's very realistic because she's debating and she's like, okay, I'm going to go with the medium vases. She's like, oh, there's only like a couple left. Can you go find a store employee and have them find more? And he goes, let's just get the big ones. And she's like, you're just saying that because you don't want to go find someone. Which is pretty realistic dialogue.
For sure.
Yeah. But he ends up helping her out. But the fast forward. Yeah, go ahead.
This is on the heels of him helping her out with the hand stamped and
yes.
Such and such. So it's like this theory or whatever is building that he's there for her and is guiding her through this experience.
Right. Right. And yeah, we're about to talk a little bit more about Jeremiah's reaction to all of this, but...
Yeah, they definitely set it up in that way, where yeah. It's like, Conrad, reliable, easy to, like, a sensible guy with, like, kind of knows how to maneuver in the world, where Jer has just some wild-ass ideas for the wedding.
About the wedding, specifically. Yeah, I mean, we shouldn't give Conrad too much credit. Like, Jeremiah can... drive her to Michael's and help her take vases down from shelves. It's not that deep.
But it's just being set up that way.
It's being set up that way, but it's also very ironic that Conrad is basically the one helping her plan the wedding.
Yes.
To his brother. Right?
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Because married couples talk about that all the time. Like some husbands participate in all the wedding planning and some husbands don't. And some brides feel some kind of way. We should ask Ashlyn all these questions. Some brides, I'm sure, feel some kind of way about it, and some brides don't. But it is a little bit awkward when you're doing all of the party planning stuff with your ex-boyfriend.
Another, you know, check in the box of
messy.
The situation's crazy.
The situation is crazy. But they get home, and Jeremiah's there. He was late. He was supposed to come help with Michael's, and he was like, oh, I could have made it in time. And she's like, no, you couldn't have. They close at 9. And then there's like I think this is where
they go to dinner.
Yeah, so then they leave to go to dinner, which is chapter 34. But there is one part that I'm like, I can hear Jeremiah saying it, and I can almost see Conrad being pissed off about it, which is Jeremiah kisses Belly. And Jeremiah like slaps Conrad on the back and is like, thanks for pinch hitting today. I don't know. I can just see him like grimacing based on that. Then they invite him to dinner. And Belly, who's just like aloof. Is that an okay? Is she daft? Is she aloof?
About
all of it. She's just like, oh my gosh, this has been such a great day. I got my friend Conrad back.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And she's like, Conrad, come on. You haven't eaten any dinner. You got to come to dinner. Like, let's go to dinner. Jeremiah's here now. And Jeremiah's like, literally, yeah. Belly, he has said 5 times he doesn't want to go.
Yeah, get a grip, lady.
So, like, so anyway, chapter 34 is when they're at Jimmy's, which is apparently like a seafood place. They said, neither of us ordered crabs. Very important to the plot. Belly got the fried scallops and iced tea, and Jeremiah got a lobster roll and some fries and a beer.
Love a lobster roll, man.
Love lobster rolls.
Lobster roll might be my favorite. I think if I was going to the chair.
Lobster roll? That'd be
possibly.
I love seafood.
Oh, man. A good lobster roll.
Yeah.
Like the bun done the right way.
Yeah.
Fuck. Hot. Gotta be hot.
Hot. You like New England.
Whatever the non-cold style is. Yeah. Like the hot lobster one.
Yeah. With the butter.
Ooh, butter. Red lobster meat. Fuck yeah.
We gotta find the best lobster roll in Wilmington.
Yeah, Southern Living just dropped a ranking on Instagram. It was like best Southern towns.
Up and coming
Southern towns.
Wilmington
was number one. I think it might have been like a algorithm situation. Them finding us and not being some crazy coincidence, but whatever.
They're sitting there and Belly wants to talk to Jeremiah about the actual wedding stuff. And Belly's saying there's tons of stuff to still take care of, and she's asking if he's going to wear a suit or a tuxedo. And Jeremiah's like, it's on the beach. I'm probably not even going to wear
shoes.
Exactly. Yeah. Which is fine. I'm like, that's the one part of the wedding that I don't actually care about. It has nothing to do with like not having money for a big wedding. Like if you have a beach wedding, everything's a little more cash.
Yeah. Vibe check, man.
What'd you say?
Vibe check.
Vibe check. Okay. Do you think Jeremiah is being insensitive? As in, he's just kind of like, this is going to sound shitty, but he's just doing his Jeremiah bit.
Yeah, right.
And it's weird that after 2 years of being in a relationship, he's still doing that to her. Like, I get it. Like, he has a shtick. But, like, should he really be doing this bit to her? Like, he was late to help out.
Mm-hmm.
They're at dinner now. She wants to talk about wedding preparations. And he's like, what else is there to do?
I think Belly is forcing herself to be in this grown-up place.
Yeah.
And she has no wiggle room from that forced position.
Okay.
While Jer is kind of treating it as though a 21-year-old was getting married and being authentic in
that. Okay.
So
all this has happened. And then one of the things he says that like sets her off, he says, I'll wear whatever you and Taylor want me to wear. It's your guys' day, right? Belly said, I just wanted him to figure it out. I didn't care what he wore. I just wanted him to let me know so I could check it off my list.
I mean,
and then that launches into, you like this part, that launches into the only thing that he is asking for of this wedding is something that's like so fucking off the reservation.
Well,
but he's been thinking about it.
Okay. So far off the reservation because of how Belly's treating it and wanting this traditional wedding.
Right.
Like at some point they should be on the same page for what they want. It's a great, you know, drop in the bucket for not it being a bad idea to do this.
But it also goes back to in relationships, there should be compromise and there should be some give and take. And we've already heard from their relationship in general, like she's called him a frat boy. And she said that there's been times when she didn't want to hang out with him.
Mm-hmm.
And he invited himself over when he was sick and they always eat Indian food and she doesn't. So she's brought up all these things where it's like they don't.
Well, he's got a hard time adapting to like not his
way.
And his way of adapting is just like, then you do it.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Which then makes it seem like he's not taking it seriously though, or he doesn't care.
But no. I have to defend him there a little bit because like, I don't know many people who get married at 21, but they're probably all, if a frat guy was getting married at 21,
sure.
I feel like most people would probably be treating it like Jeremiah.
Sure.
Was, you know what I mean? This isn't like out of character for a college age frat kid.
Right. No offense to frat kids. We're just stereotyping. Obviously Jenny was trying to do as well.
Right.
But he basically, and it goes back to the frat guy thing, right? So he,
well, them just like not putting as much actual value on what they're doing.
Yeah.
They just know wedding, like getting married and weddings from like what they see on
TV, probably.
Or, yeah, movies. Yeah. So, like, as you get older and the more you're looking for the right person and the more the time passes and you're not getting married, it becomes that much more important and you see your friends doing it and you're like, oh, that one worked out, that one didn't, da 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 da. It all, the picture becomes much clearer the older you get on what this actually is.
Yeah.
Their Belly thinks she knows what it's supposed to be or what it is. Jeremiah's like,
it's a day we're getting married.
It's just like, we're getting married. That means that like, we're going to be together and for the rest of our lives,
right.
You know, but not realizing the amount of work that is going to go into it.
Yeah. So his big request is, hey, can we dance to You Never Can Tell at the reception? And every time we always have to play it, but it's the whole, dun, 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 dun. It was a teenage wedding and the old folks wish them well. And it's from...
Super funny.
You think it's funny, right? And Belly just says, I don't know that song. And this is where the frat thing comes back up. He said, it's from my favorite movie. Hint, we had the soundtrack on repeat in our frat house media room all semester. And it's from Pulp Fiction.
Yeah.
And then,
I mean, if like, it's a cute idea if they're on the same page.
Right. And he's like, we can put it on YouTube. I bet we get a shit ton of hits. It'll be funny. And she's like, funny? You want our wedding to be funny?
Yeah, that's kind of like the disconnect there.
And there's a disconnect there, for sure. So, anyway, Belly then says, I was still pissed he hadn't made it on time to help with me at Michael's. The server came by with our food. Jeremiah dug right into his lobster roll. So then they're talking a little bit about the decisions, and he says that she's made all the decisions and he just wants this one thing. And he mentions that she won the cake conversation from before, which is like they're having carrot cake, not chocolate cake, which is what he wanted. So in a way, he's been marking some decisions that he's wanted to make that she's blown past as well.
Keeping some score.
He's keeping score a little bit. Hey, I've got an idea. What if the wedding was Tarantino themed?
Yeah, that one, that's just him being a dick.
Right.
Because, like, any person would know that's a, if you've, like, got the read on what your fiance is wanting this wedding to be, and she's pissed because you're not taking it serious, and then you go there.
Right.
It's like, oh, shit, bro, you're just, like, itching for...
And then he makes, like, a Kill Bill reference, and then he says he's kidding. But then she starts talking about like what people should eat and what the food should be. And then he again reverts back to like, hey, don't worry about any of this stuff. Like my dad's going to hire someone to take care of it. And again, that's just like another thing that we've already heard pisses Belly off. She doesn't want to plan the wedding with Taylor. She doesn't want to go to Michael's with Conrad. She doesn't want Adam, who they don't like anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Involved in the wedding at all. She like wants her mom, who is not accepting of the wedding, and she wants her future husband to care a little bit more, and just not saying that he doesn't care, just like not to make a mockery of the entire thing.
Sure.
But then she puts her foot down and she says, she's like, I don't need to check with her, i.e. Taylor, on this. It's a dumb idea and it's not happening. And then he calls her Bridezilla.
Another funny thing just to piss her off.
It's very believable. Like the entire fight is very believable.
For sure.
It's a little bit cringe to read and to imagine, but we already know the writing on the wall is like not good for these two getting married. But it's just, I think that's what makes it hard as a read. But anyway, all of this leads to him taking a scallop off of her plate and popping it into his mouth. And then she says, I stuffed the last scallop into my mouth before he could take that too. Then I grabbed a bunch of his fries, even though I had fries of my own. I wondered, the rest of our lives, was Jeremiah going to try and eat my last scallop or my last bite of steak? I liked finishing all the food on my plate.
Yeah, this is the shit that you should have like down pat before you're getting married. You know?
What do you mean by that? As in like, all of these issues and problems, they're just magnified by the fact that now the stakes are higher, right?
Right. You know,
it's probably happened before. I don't know, maybe.
Okay. Let me say this. If you're an athlete,
right,
and you're playing in whatever league, or you're whatever, you're in the CEO of Kohl's, and you're starting to kind of factor out your retirement, or like, you know, having the conversation with your wife about like if this is the year I should retire, or
right,
once you're contemplating retirement already,
yeah,
you're already one step out of it.
Okay,
you're not performing at your peak, and it you know.
Wait, you went from sports to CEO,
whatever, like a high performance job.
Okay,
and you're contemplating retirement.
Yeah,
you're basically 1 foot out the door already.
Yeah,
so you're once you're contemplating retirement, thinking about it, you're basically already retired.
Because you're not
at your peak level.
Because all of your focus isn't into
It's not like you're not all the way in.
Itself.
You're not all the way in. Like, or if you're like changing jobs.
Yeah.
If you're changing jobs, your focus isn't 100% on your current job. Like, you know, there's a famous office thing during Michael's two week notice. Mm-hmm. He like basically just fucks off for the entire 2 weeks.
Which a lot of people do.
Right. But my bigger point is the fact that you're questioning the marriage before you're even married.
Yeah.
Or like questioning, is this how it's going to be? Like, I wonder this. Like, it's just a really bad sign for.
Well, and this sounds, I mean, I was going to say this sounds bad, but it just, it happens all the time. And I'm actually not talking about divorce. I'm talking about cold feet. Like, it happens all the time that marriages get called off.
I feel like
when lover meets the road.
That's true. Don't you feel like cold feet happens more with the younger wedding?
No. I think it's like everybody has the best of intentions when they commit to one another and they say yes.
Mm-hmm.
But then after they say yes, like the entire lens on the whole relationship changes because now you're seeing everything. You're forced to see everything through the lens of forever, right? And you do start to have those thoughts. And sometimes you have those thoughts and you're okay with it. And sometimes you have thoughts and you're not okay with it.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, it's a trope of a lot of TV shows and movies and stuff like that, where it's like in How I Met Your Mother, right? It was like, man, like, I'm not going to get to sleep with anyone else for the rest of my life.
That's like the famous one.
That's the famous one. But like in reality, just because you don't want to marry someone doesn't mean that you're not dedicated to that person. So theoretically, you shouldn't really be sleeping with anyone else anyway. But it's like, you're thinking about it as forever. And therefore, you think about the things that you give up.
Yeah.
Like, you give up a lot of alone time. You have to learn to compromise.
Bella, everyone should be moved in together before they get married.
That's not how they used to do it in the day.
Back in the day, I know, but you know, it's a good testing ground. It's a good test kitchen for if this is going to work.
Right.
Or you should have to go through a pandemic together.
Yes.
That'll teach you a lot.
It will.
And I still think that most cold feet situations are probably like 30 and under marriages.
Yeah. Do you remember
that Soma?
No. I mean, you had to learn weird quirks like Belly and Jeremiah being at Jimmy's eating together about me.
Sure.
Like,
but we learned that's like for the courtship, like all that stuff, like in the first year, second year, third year.
Right. But there's like the thing of like when I'm at a restaurant and you eat really fast.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, like there was one time that we had a fight and you're like, why are you making such a big deal out of it? And I was like, I don't know why I'm making a big deal out of it. I just know it's important to me that you don't rush me.
Fuck. Where was that?
That was at...
I can still remember
Cardinal Hall. It was at Cardinal Hall.
It was at Cardinal Hall. Okay, we might not have been married yet at that point. We're not
married yet.
Okay.
But it was one of those, you're like, why are you overreacting? And then all of a sudden it's like, I was like, I don't know why I'm overreacting, but I'm like really, really upset. And you should just not...
Stop brushing me.
Brush me.
Yeah.
And then you were like, okay, well then what should I do instead? And I was like, I don't know. I don't need you to like slow down your pace of eating, but like, you don't have to entertain me. So like, I don't know, pull out your phone and like watch stuff. I don't know. Like, I'm not done.
You finish your ramen sometimes before me.
Yeah.
Or that's like the closest we are in our, cause I do eat fast.
Yeah.
I have an inhaling my food problem.
Yeah.
But yeah.
But it's kind of this thing like, hey, I'm done. Are you done? I'm like, no. I'm like, well, what if I said no? Then what?
Yeah, that's a bad habit. I don't know. I guess you never understood the pressure that you're putting on someone.
Well, okay. I appreciate you saying that, hon. That's great. But I'm also admitting that, like, I don't know why that triggers such, like, a weird reaction for me. But that's what I'm saying. Like, even we, after having been together, even at that point, we weren't married yet, but we'd been together for, like, four or 5 years. And it was, like, to learn that, you have that interaction,
mm-hmm.
and you move on, but you learn something about each other. And I agree with you. Belly and Jeremiah are now just learning this whole like food thing. Like Belly's like, oh my God, he's gonna try to eat the last bite of my food for the rest of my life. And I hate that.
To be fair to Jeremiah, he didn't eat her last scallop.
I know.
It was her second to last scallop. Okay. Had he ate the last scallop, that would have been a big problem.
Her instinct, right, is to like question that. So I guess what I'm saying is it's not necessarily a red flag to me that they have these disagreements and arguments, because that shit just happens and you discover it as you go through life together. But does everything have to lead to Belly thinking like, oh my God,
would Conrad do that?
Right. Or is this what I'm signing up for the rest of my life? Like, yeah, that's probably not a good sign. So anyway, there's that. And you guys got a little Vicky Casey anecdote. So after that, they sort of make up and Belly says, our first dance can be you never can tell if you really want. Aww. And then he pumps his fist into the air and says, see, that's why I'm marrying you.
I mean, kind of cute.
Right. When we got back to the house, Conrad's car was gone. All right. Anti-Conrads that think he's an asshole have commented on this line. Pro-Conradians.
Mm-hmm.
I've now dubbed us Conradians.
Listen, I'm going to split myself. I'm going to put myself closer to the middle than you are.
Okay. Well, either way, you love this line. So chapter 35 opens up with Conrad saying, I would rather have had someone shoot me in the head with a nail gun.
It's just a funny ass line.
Repeatedly.
It's probably the best line of the book.
Than to have to watch the two of them cuddling on the couch together all night. After they went to dinner, I got in my car and drove to Boston.
Listen, that makes sense to me.
It makes sense to me too.
So I'm with it.
Yeah. Especially with the now.
But
now
why would the argument be he's an asshole?
I don't know. I don't see that side of it.
Like, just because it's actually healthy.
Right.
Instead of like staying and
sabotaging,
fucking shit up. Yeah.
Or staying when he knows he has feelings. Like the whole like, I had to cool it. Like if he's really like, I have feelings for this girl still, which he's already said multiple times. He's like, I gotta leave. Yeah. So anyway, I think it's the whole like, why can't he just be happy for them? Like, I don't know, because he's like madly in love with this girl. Like, yeah, I don't know. Then there's this whole thing where he goes back to Boston and then he's interacting with Adam. Adam is like, we can't get through to him. Laurel's really pissed off. I don't know what to do. And Conrad says to his dad, you could cut him off. And then Conrad says in his head, like, I don't know why I said that. That would be a really dick thing to do. I don't know if I meant it, but I definitely knew it would stop them moving forward on the wedding because they don't have like two pennies to rub together.
Mm-hmm.
So there was that. And then Conrad goes into this deep dialogue about him actually having some self-awareness on why his relationship with his father is broken and when it broke.
Oh, yeah.
All that.
That was good stuff.
It's sort of the breakdown of like the man that Conrad thinks that he wants to be versus the man that he's running away from, which is like repeating his dad's mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
That I think is important.
Yeah. I mean, that's like a tales all this time.
I was going to ask you, because obviously I'm not a boy
mm-hmm.
that was raised by a father.
Mm-hmm.
The pressure to do well at sports and like your parents living vicariously through you and like all that. That's real, isn't it?
All real life stuff.
All real life stuff. And you have a brother. So like the same thing, right? Like,
oh yeah.
Everything is like, oh, you're better than he is at this, or he's better than you at this. And dad is like pushing you to do, not you, but I'm talking about Adam and Conrad, like, oh, you should do football and you should play this and you should do that. And he said that his dad would like take all the newspaper clippings mm-hmm. of him and like put it in his office when he got older and started to see his dad for what he really was.
It was like a spite thing.
Like he was like, I didn't want to be him. I didn't want to be him so badly that I killed all the parts of me that made me like him.
I think it's a little bit different, even though he's basically he's saying what he's thinking.
Mm-hmm. You interpret it differently?
I just like, this is the situation. This is what I think.
Yeah.
I think it's probably like, my dad is really proud of me when I do this football.
Yeah.
Or whatever. So I'm going to take that away from him.
He says that. Yeah.
By not playing football.
Right.
So it's more like he enjoys me playing football. He's proud of me playing football and being at a Division I athlete, whatever.
Right.
I'm going to take that away from him so he can't have that because I'm angry at how he's lived his life or how he is living his life.
Right. Yeah.
So I don't think it's like I'm killing the parts of me that are like him. I think it's more I am taking away these prideful opportunities.
Yeah. But then he says that he always put his dad up on this pedestal. And he said it was his fault that he put his dad up on the pedestal. But then he said he finds more and more reasons to be disappointed. I really like this part just because I want you to comment on some of it. Mm-hmm. But all that love and pride I had in him, it turned to hate. And then I started to hate myself. Because I saw it too, how alike we were. That scared me. I didn't want to be the kind of man who cheated on his wife. I didn't want to be the kind of man who put work before his family, who tipped cheaply at restaurants, who never bothered to learn our housekeeper's name.
Yeah, that stuff is...
That's tough, right?
Yeah, it's shitty guy stuff.
Right. But it's like, only when he got older did he start to pay attention to some of that stuff. He was like, okay, we may have the same, like, golf score, and my swing is similar to yours, and yes, I can play football, but this other stuff, like, I'm not down with.
Mm-hmm.
The main example that he was like really hard hitting. His dad came home drunk from like playing golf with his buddies.
Oh, and forgot.
You remember, right?
Yeah.
He forgot it was his mom's birthday, but not just that.
Mm-hmm.
He sees the two boys with a card and like, I guess they got or a cake or something. And he's just like, oh shit. Boys, do you mind if I put my name on that?
Listen, I'm not gonna kill him for that.
You're not gonna kill him for that, but then what Conrad was saying is like after that he found all these other reasons, and then you add the cheating, and then you add the tipping cheaply.
Right, yeah, all those things like tipping cheaply and not knowing your housekeeper's name, that stuff is dickhead, bad guy stuff.
I was freshman in high school, late, I know, to figure out your dad isn't a hero.
What do you think of that?
I think it sucks. I think it sucks because the boys had put so much time and effort into it.
Yeah, there should have been. It would have.
They baked her a cake.
It would have been great to have some communication ahead of time. Which I guess maybe there's some of that, and they're like, they're not communicating.
Right. But again, you just add it to the list, right? So you're like, the type of man who doesn't bother to learn our housekeeper's name, who forgets our mom's birthday.
Yeah. That sounds like something that happened in my family. Like, yo. Like,
hey, don't forget.
Don't forget.
It's such and such's birthday.
Yeah, I don't know if my dad knows how old I am. Like, he knows a range.
Yeah.
It could be 34 to 36. It's like in there somewhere, I'm sure.
Right. I mean, yeah, at the end of the day, do we crucify the guy for that one thing? No, but
in
it's a bigger arc of like, and I notice all these things, and therefore the pedestal that I put him on, not so much anymore. So, anyway, don't you think Connie Baby needs to, like, work that shit out in therapy?
Yeah, no, for sure.
In addition to, like, probably a lot of other things that he has on his mind. All right. Chapter 36 is when Belly and Conrad are sitting on the back porch, and Conrad notices that Belly's not really eating. She's kind of sad and timid. And then she gets a call from Denise Coletti, who is Adam's secretary, I guess. And Adam decided to have Denise play wedding event coordinator.
Okay.
And so she calls Belly out of the blue. Conrad knows Denise, I guess, because she's like, oh, is that Conrad in the background? Like, tell him I said hi. And basically, she's getting the head count and figuring out the sampling menu and setting up a tasting for Jeremiah and Belly for the food, mm-hmm. and figuring out, like, how many tables they need. And it kind of sends Belly into a spiral because Belly's like, I don't... If anyone was going to help me plan this wedding, like I said earlier, it's not going to be Adam's fucking secretary. Like, she wants her mom to be part of it. Basically, Conrad tells her to eat. She takes like a small bite of chicken. Then it flips back to Conrad, chapter 37. And it's where he said, it didn't hit me how much of a hard time Belly was having until I heard on the phone with Taylor later that week. She had her door open. I was brushing my teeth in the hall bathroom. I heard her say to Taylor, "I really appreciate what your mom is trying to do. I know it would just feel too weird with all the adults from the neighborhood at my wedding shower and then my mom not being there." So then Conrad's kind of like listening in and he hears Belly start to cry.
Speaking of swooping in.
So then it's funny because he says, "I was definitely going to stay out of it. The next morning, I got up early and went to see Laurel." So asks her to meet him at a diner.
You love the Conrad and Laurel
relationship. I love it. Because, I don't know, they have like a nice little friendship. And if you remember earlier, like Laurel was like, "Oh, is Conrad going to be there?" Or
Vicky's mom likes me better than she likes herself.
Oh, 1000%. She'll have a conversation with you, with me in the room, like, "And you just tell her to do this," or "When I try to talk to her about that."
How about when we were trying to get a hold of her? She was in Vietnam. We were trying to get a hold of her, and Vicky called her like 3 times. I called her, no answer. So no answer from like 4 tries.
3 of which were mine.
Yeah, then I sent her a text, and then she called me back right away.
Yeah. Like, okay, great. But basically, Conrad actually explains their relationship in this. So he says, like, "Laurel had always been special to me ever since I was a kid. I just like being near her. I like the way you could be quiet around her. When my mom died and I transferred to Sanford, I started calling Laurel every once in a while. I like talking to her. She reminded of my mom without it hurting too much." Nice, right?
Mm-hmm.
They sit down, they order pancakes, and Conrad is trying to find a segue into telling Laurel, like, "Hey, like, what are your real thoughts on this wedding?" And Laurel actually opens up to Conrad because she's like, "I'm pissed because I'm the only holdout."
Yeah.
Because she's like, "Your dad apparently is now paying for the fucking wedding and helping out." And she's like, "And I know that John is just going to cave and go to the wedding. And Steven's the best man now. And like, I'm the bitch."
Yeah, shitty spot.
And basically, Conrad is like, "Okay, all of that's true. But if you think about your daughter for a second, like, she's really, really sad." And he's like, I don't know if he explicitly says that he heard her crying over it, but I don't know. Something about Belly crying and Conrad knowing he has this good relationship with Laurel. I think Conrad was like, "I can't give Belly much, but I can give her this."
Okay, I like it.
So in a lot of ways, people are like, it's like a chivalrous Conrad stepping in and doing something, and he doesn't like need the credit for it because he doesn't tell Belly.
And you could sell it as not being romantic if you needed to.
Exactly. Right. Okay. Except Laurel is Laurel. So Laurel quickly cuts through the bullshit. And do you remember what she says to Conrad?
"You still trying to get with my daughter or what?"
Right. I mean, basically, right? She's like, "Okay, well, what's your interest in all of this?" So he said that on the way back, he played back the conversation over and over again. And he said, "The knowing look on Laura's face when she asked me what my interest was, what was I doing? Picking out vases with Belly, trying to play peacemaker with the parents. Suddenly, I was their wedding planner and I didn't even agree with them.
Mm-hmm.
I needed to disengage from the situation. I was washing my hands of the whole thing. Of the whole mess," he calls it. He's starting to realize, right? He's like, "Okay, my intent was to stay away from this thing. And now I'm helping Belly with stuff. And I like helped her get her love stamps. And I picked out vases with her. And I'm like going to broker her mom, going to her wedding shower. Like, what the fuck am I doing?" Okay. What do you think? Do you think Conrad's doing it? I think he's got to be doing it innocently, right?
Define exactly what you mean.
So he has this realization, like, yeah, what the fuck am I doing? Like, helping Belly and, like, doing all this stuff. And we know why. He's just doing it for Belly, but I don't think he's doing it with, like, malicious intent, right?
I think he's able to sell it. Like, sell it to himself, sell it.
Yeah, but is he actually selling it? Or is he like, yeah, I'm just being there for Belly. And then he's like,
there's a weird way we can trick ourselves into, like, saying, like, I won't get hurt again. I won't let myself get caught up, catch feelings again.
Yeah.
But I can, like, be with her and, like, get kind of some of the good stuff that I want.
Yeah.
Without,
like, making her happy and, like,
yeah, like
getting off,
like,
her
get some
stuff.
Of those good feelings without, yeah, you know, getting too deep.
Yeah.
And I don't think it was malicious. I think it was, like, him tricking himself and being like, I can help her and it's okay.
Right. But now that we're talking all of this out, it's a very, very good lead up. Because I like the way that you put it. You're like, we can trick ourselves.
Mm-hmm. I'm on one.
And then we get to chapter 38, which is...
Not chapter 38.
The Peaches chapter. So it's
shit.
You can trick yourself and trick yourself and trick yourself. But then what's the most meaningful about this chapter is Conrad comes back and Belly just says, where have you been? Because he'd been gone all morning. Then he didn't say anything, and she said, do you want to keep me company as I go to the florist? And
Belly said that to Conrad?
Yeah.
Damn.
Right. Right. So again, she's doing it very innocently, but he just, like, had this conversation with Laurel, and he's like, I got to disengage.
Well, she's tricking herself, too.
Agreed. Right. Conrad says, isn't Jeremiah coming today? Can't you go with him? And she said that she was surprised and a little hurt. I thought we'd been getting along really well these past few weeks.
He's just giving himself an out.
Yeah.
Just giving himself an out in case anyone asks.
Right.
I asked if Jeremiah could go first.
Right. But then do you know what Conrad says after that? He says, I don't want to piss him off.
Right. He's giving himself the out.
Right. But then Belly recognizes that. She says, I thought I heard a trace of hurt in his voice. Hurt and something else. Fear. And then she says, what's wrong? Did something happen this morning? And she, like, walks up to him, puts her hand on his shoulder, and he just said, nothing happened. Let's go. I'll drive.
Yeah.
Is that just him, like, okay, I don't want to fucking deal with this right now.
Right,
so, like,
right, right, right. Yeah, let's not dissect this shit right now.
So then they go to the floral shop, and so Belly's getting married,
mm-hmm,
and she's picking out flowers.
Yes.
And she goes in, and they recommended some other flowers, but then she ends up picking out Susanna's favorite flowers, which Conrad recognizes. That's cute. And then the floral arrangement person, I don't know what we call it, florist. The florist.
Florist.
Yes, the florist.
Florida.
Mistook Conrad as the groom.
So she's classic.
Like, she's like, oh, and what would you like your boutonniere to be made out of? So now you have all the awkward tension. You have Conrad, who's trying to fake like he doesn't have feelings. You have Belly, who's trying to fake like she doesn't want to utilize their newfound friendship as a reason to be close to Conrad. The florist is making very innocent comments, which kind of casts like a weird vibe.
I was going to say, it's like if you're bartending or something and you got this old ass guy with his girlfriend, like maybe a rich guy with his like young girlfriend,
yeah,
and you mistake them for his daughter. That'd be funny. It would really change the vibe.
That's your comparison.
Or like whenever a waiter asks us if we're paying separately.
Oh yeah.
I'm like, no.
Man, are we just giving off boyfriend girlfriend vibes,
yeah,
tonight?
Like, what are we doing? Are we going Dutch here?
You know. Awkward.
Yeah.
Yeah. Awkward turtle moment. But anyway. So then they're driving home. They pass this peach stand. Belly kind of like her eyes light up a little bit. She thinks Conrad doesn't notice. Conrad just says, do you want to stop? She's like, no, we passed it. So like they're having the same conversation without actually having it. And then Conrad whips a Yui, takes her back to the peach stand. Was it Hawaii where we saw one of these? It's basically a fruit stand that has no people. And it's just like, leave a dollar and take one. But anyway.
There's a flower spot out here in Charlottesville that has like it's just a flower stand on the side of the road.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, leave $5, whatever, take your flowers.
Okay, so yeah, so we have seen that before.
That's a thing.
Yeah. So that's kind of the deal here. So Belly's super excited. She gets her peaches.
I'm not going to do the peaches song.
Don't do the peaches song. But what happens?
So Belly gets a peach seed in her eye. Now she gets like some juice on her face, and then Conrad uses his shirt to wipe it off all sensually.
Yes.
And we had a talk. We're like, okay, so this was my most important thought. I'm like, he must have been wearing a button down, like an open button down with an undershirt underneath, and like the button down open, not buttoned. Because it would be awfully hard any other way.
Okay.
Unless he's willing to expose himself in front of Belly.
So that was, but okay. So what's,
I don't
so
see Conrad wearing really loose. What happened?
So what's so sensual? So yes, the act of like him using his shirt to wipe her chin or whatever could be like romantic.
I mean, it's 100% romantic every time.
I'm glad you agree, but is it, I'm just going to use this word, is it hotter if he's wearing like a looser t-shirt and he does lift it up and there's skin or whatever? They're in a beach town.
Maybe.
Beach town, right? Either way, I think it's going to be, you like to call it fan service, but I think it is fan service. Like, I think they're going to have to find their way to some sort of beach stand in season 3.
Oh.
Yeah.
So that's why everyone likes the peaches.
That's why everyone likes the peaches. That's why. That's why everyone like, that's everyone's favorite food moment. If you're Team Bonrad. So then,
you imagine Conrad was like, hang on 1 second. I'm going to get my handkerchief out of my pocket.
Yeah, that would not.
Got some dribble on you.
Yes, that would not have been. You said that that's like 10 out of 10 romantic every time. That is a way to not romantic. Yeah. But basically, what also solidifies that it's romantic is basically Belly says, Conrad reached out and wiped my chin with his shirt. It was maybe the most intimate thing anyone had ever done to me.
Yeah, respect.
Right. Well, except for the fact that in the show they'd had sex, so.
Nah, this isn't the show, playa.
Right, but I'm just saying, she's already had sex with this man, so.
She hasn't.
I'm saying
in this world, no,
in this world she hasn't. Right. So anyway, so then they go back home, and Conrad disappears as soon as they got into the house because Conrad was probably like, okay, that was weird. Shouldn't have done that. This thing is getting messy. So he just disappears. Jeremiah's there. Belly's like washing the peaches or whatever. She asks if he wants a peach. She says something weird, which is like, did you know that Conrad's allergic to peaches? And he says, what? Yes.
That sucks.
Well, he said he's not going to like
ice cream.
Well, that's what he said. He said he's had peach ice cream before, but it like makes
peaches and cream.
He said it makes the inside of his mouth itch. It's not like he's going to like blow up and have to go to the hospital, but so then.
Damn, maybe I'm allergic to peaches.
Does the inside of your mouth itch when you have them?
There are certain things where I can like maybe say yes.
Okay.
It might be peaches.
Maybe you're allergic to peaches. Maybe it's kiwis. Some people are really
allergic to kiwis. They give you a really funny feeling.
And then maybe you're allergic to kiwis.
Sometimes. I don't care. I'm pushing through.
Okay. So anyway, Belly says, I put the peaches in the silver fruit bowl, arranging them as nicely as I could. My hands were still shaking.
Peaches need to be hard. Can we get that clear for the audio?
Belly, the way that she describes her peach, she says that she likes when her fingers kind of sink into the fruit a little bit.
You know me.
I know you.
Every type of fruit needs to be like snappy.
Yeah. Well, then you and Belly are not on the same peach game.
And you taught me about good limes.
You probably wouldn't have any peach juices
going. Right, because a snappy peach wouldn't necessarily be very juicy.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah. All right.
Put up a poll.
Yeah, how do you like your peaches?
Hard peaches, soft peaches.
Hmm.
Snappy, baby.
I like them right in the middle.
That's also possible.
I digress.
Yeah.
Okay, so chapter 39 is a chapter where Belly and Jeremiah are
apartment hunting.
Yeah. What do you like? What do you remember about it? What do you like about it?
I remember that it's just, you know, it's like going back to the well on how Jared's treating the wedding, how Belly's treating the wedding.
Yeah.
Belly wants to give this like the adult version.
Right, right.
But it does feel a little forced. They're not like growing into it together. It's like Belly's like, this is what it's supposed to be.
Right, next Easter we're going to be married, so we should live off
yeah,
the
campus. Like kind of like a square peg round hole thing where they, in a perfect world, they grow into it together and like they're both like, hey, you know, maybe we need to be doing this.
Right.
But how it plays out, it's like Jer wants to live in the young kid apartment with right. the guy who...
Whether like the soccer players live or something like that, he says.
Yeah, like no lease. Just like sign a, you know, basically like sign in blood, no background check.
Yeah.
And, you know, I had some, I don't want to go too far off topic, but I had some shitty landlords, man, back in the college days.
Yeah. Oh, I think we've all.
Oh my God.
If we didn't own a shitty apartment, you've been to shitty, like parties in shitty apartments. Yeah.
They couldn't turn the heat off in my apartment, so we had to pay for electric, like ridiculous electric bills.
So let me paint this picture for you. Okay. Okay. It's described so, like, just great descriptions from Jenny. Wall to wall, navy blue carpet. Even though I had flip flops on, I could still tell it was moist.
Ugh, fuck, that's gross.
The kitchen was the size of an airplane bathroom.
Sucks.
The bedroom had no windows.
Sucks.
The landlord, long white ponytail, mustache, a tattoo of a topless mermaid on his forearm.
But listen, if it's
and
like
Belly says, it smells like cigarette smoke in here.
Oh, we wouldn't do it.
Right.
We couldn't do that.
We couldn't do it. And Jeremiah says, Febreze it, baby.
Damn.
And she says, you Febreze it by yourself. I'm not living here. It's again so realistic, but all right. The scallop thing, the cake thing.
Like, I mean,
the him wanting a funny dance. Okay, whatever, Jer. I could not get on board with this apartment either. I don't care if I'm 19 or 20 or 32. Like, I'm not living in this place either. So.
Right, and he should be looking out for her.
Right, right. Belly said, let's go back to that first place. She said, but here's the thing. Jeremiah says that place was all old people and families.
That's the wrong attitude.
Wrong
buddy.
Attitude for somebody who's getting married. He's like, this place is for our age, college kids like us. And it's like, can you guys not meet somewhere in the middle? Because
for real. Or like, we'll do this for 3 months, we'll save up money, and then, you know, there needs to be some...
I don't know if I'm living in that.
No, we couldn't do that, right? But we would be like, okay, let's find somewhere in the middle, and let's dedicate the next 6 months to, you know, saving up some money, graduating college or whatever, and then like moving somewhere better. There needs to be... I think that's something we're so good at. It's like, we always attack shit together.
Yeah.
It's like, let's put our heads together. Let's collaborate on this. Let's, you know, get rowing in the same direction.
Right. Well, we're also pretty good at talking about our non-negotiables. So it's like, okay, what's your non-negotiable? And then what's mine? And then we figure out if
apartment
we each...
must have cigarette smell.
If we each get our non-negotiables, then everything in the middle theoretically can be negotiated. This is probably my favorite part, writing-wise, because I can see, now that I know the Jeremiah character, I can just see Gavin fucking pulling this off. He rolled his eyes. Loudly, he said, I guess we're not taking the apartment. To the landlord, he shrugged like a, what are you gonna do?
Ladies, man.
Yeah, right. It's such good writing, because now that I know the way that Gavin plays Jeremiah, like, it's gonna be, if we get that scene, it's gonna be so good. Like, the what are you gonna do? The long and the short of it is they go back to the nice place that Belly wants to go to, and the woman has to run their credit. Jeremiah takes this opportunity to ask, if you're like late on some credit cards, would that negatively impact your credit? And Belly's looking at him like, what the fuck are you talking about? Your dad pays your credit card. And then she finds out that he decided to randomly open up some other credit cards and is apparently like late on those payments.
Classic.
They have like a mini fight outside of that where she's like, she's freaking out because she doesn't know if they'll actually even get it. And Jeremiah, again, being very carefree is like, okay, well, if it doesn't work out, we can just go back to the other one. She's like, what other one? He said, I doubt Gary would even do a credit check on us. Who's Gary? The guy from the last apartment. She says, I'm sure Gary would still do a credit check. Doubt it. Gary was cool. Gary probably has a meth lab in the basement. If we lived in that apartment, we would probably wake up in the middle of the night in an ice bath without our kidneys. Then Jer says, why are we still talking about this? You got your way, remember? So again, Jeremiah keeping score.
Yes, he is.
Right? Like, in a lot of ways, Belly is keeping a record of all of the disagreements that they're having, but Jeremiah is literally now keeping score on every time Belly theoretically gets her way. Not a good sign.
Not a good sign.
For our couple here. So, now we are at chapter 40. So, let's deep dive a little bit, hun.
Mm-hmm.
What are your overall themes? Like, where are we heading to? If, like I said, there's act one, act two, like, what do you predict for act three based on where all of our beloved characters are?
We're set up to believe that this wedding is a bad idea.
Okay. Not just the wedding. That's what's sad about it, too, is it's not just saying that the wedding is a bad idea. It's actually saying that Belly and Jeremiah are not, like, take Conrad out of the mix, right? Like, all the writing on the wall is, like, Belly and Jeremiah might not be the forever couple.
Right.
Right. That, like, they are a college relationship. And unless they find a way to work some of this stuff out, like, they have to grow, they have to build their life together, which is the whole point of marriage. And they were excited at the attempt to build their life together, but it's, like, not going well.
Fact.
Okay. And Conrad and Belly post Peaches. Do you think they're both trying to trick themselves? Or
I think Conrad's. Well, no, I think they're both, like, they started out maybe as tricking themselves, and now it's like
escalating.
More seeds have been planted.
Ugh. Messy. Big messiness.
Big messiness.
Everybody's going to get their hearts broken.
Ha, ha, ha.
It's so sad.
Yeah, no.
Isn't it sad?
Well, it's a bad idea. I mean, this is why this game is so dangerous. Like, this whole triangle, you know?
This whole thing. Well, I think that's why Conrad's like, I probably shouldn't have lifted my shirt up and cleaned her chin like that.
I mean, that probably just happened in the moment, and, you know.
Yikes. Anyway. All right, guys. Thank you so much for listening. We need to pick a next set of chapters for book club. We are almost done with this text, by the way. There's
40 only... to 45.
40 to 45?
That's round numbers.
Okay. Like through 45? Stop at 46?
Sure.
All right. Ooh, yeah. Let's do that. Stop at 46.
I like it.
All right.
That was a good episode. That, they got their money's worth on that one.
I think so.
We got a long app, y'all.
Well, that's how we do it.
Heck yeah.
After a little hiatus.
That was fun. That was fun.
It was fun.
At Better With Glasses Pod on Instagram. Vicky holds it down.
Yeah.
BetterWithGlassesPod@gmail.com. Questions, comments, concerns. We'll see you guys. You probably got another... I hope you enjoyed the bonus episode about Hadestown.
Right.
I'm sure we've got another Conrad's joint we have another, up soon.
Yeah, we have another Conrad's episode coming soon. We're going to do... I think we're going to do Paxton Hall Yoshida.
Sure.
Yeah.
And then book club as soon as possible.
Another book club. So make sure you do your homework. And then I think the gals are going to get together for another slumber party episode.
I'm with it.
Because if you've watched One Day...
Watch One Day.
We'll probably talk about that. We'll talk a lot about Conrad. And we'll talk a lot about fanfic. So anyway, thank you everyone for listening.
Thank you guys so much.
We'll see you next time.